So we have Parshas Ekev. Welcome, welcome. Parshas Ekev is so packed with so much. It's hard to choose what to learn, but we'll focus on something earlier. Can everybody hear me all right? How's the connection? Very well. Okay. So I want to start from Perek Tes, the psukim that are describing what to expect when you're going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is, of course, giving a lot of chizuk to the people. And he begins by saying, Shema Yisrael, Atah Oveh Hayom Hasardeim Lavo Reshes Goyim Gedolim Vatzum Mimecha. These nations are very strong, and you have to know that Hashem is with you. V'yadata Hayom, Pasuk Gimel, that Hashem will destroy them, Hu Yashmideim, Hu Yachni'im Lefanecha. And then, in Pasuk Dalet, Hashem tells us not to let this get to our head. The fact that we're going to be successful in defeating these nations, we should not take the credit for ourselves, not only in terms of our own prowess, our own strength, but even in terms of our merits. It's a very important idea. Al tomar bilvavcha, ba'adof Hashem elkecho sam milfanecha, when Hashem does, in fact, push aside those nations before you, and you should not therefore think, leimor b'tzidkasi habi'ani Hashem l'reshes es ha'aretz hazos, that Hashem has brought me to inherit this land because of my righteousness. The next words of the pasuk, we're going to see in Machlokes how to read them, Rashi and the Ramban. Let's read the first words first. Uverishas ha'goyim ha'el Hashem orisha mipanacha. And with the wickedness of these nations, Hashem is driving them out. Exactly how does this fit with the pasuk? The gist, of course, is clear as the pasuk continues next. You're not inheriting the land because of your own righteousness. Rather, Hashem is driving them out because of the wickedness of the nations. And another point, in order to fulfill that which Hashem promised to the avos. And again, the adata, the pasuk follows, this is not because of your righteousness. After all, you've done a lot of bad things, even though it really was the generation before, but Hashem is speaking through Moshe as rebuking them as if they are in place of those that had sinned earlier. And he goes on to describe some of the averos, such as Chet Ha'egel and so on, as the psukim go on. So we have a lot here to unpack. First and foremost, simply to read the pasuk correctly. And then I think the larger idea has to be thought about, because I think it's very, very disconcerting, to say the least, when you think about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us in Hashem's name that you don't deserve what you're getting. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel somehow that this needs an explanation. After all, Eretz Yisrael is a gift. Hashem is showing us that He loves us, I'd imagine. We're getting this beautiful land. At the same time, we're being told that you're undeserving of it. So what exactly were we to make of that? I'd like to discuss that as well. Before we do that, though, let's look at the Ramban and the way he reads the Pasuk. Okay, so let's take the Ramban here in Pasuk. This is Pasuk Dalet into Pasuk He. Says the Ramban, how does this Pasuk connect with what was earlier? Al Tomar Bilvavcha, says the Ramban, Achare Shehisir, Shelo Tachshov Kochi Va'otzim Yadi Asali. In other words, we had earlier how, if you go back to Perek Ches, that a person, or the Kaiso, shouldn't think, the Amarta Bilvavcha Kochi Va'otzim Yadi Asali Sachai Hazeh. Don't think that you are the one who's done all of this. Hashem has done it for you. So now that he's already warned about that, Rak she'teda ki anitzuchim b'mulchama Hashem nasan lehem ha'koach ahu, those that Jews, the Kal Yisrael, who are victorious, it's only because Hashem gave them the strength to do so. V'atakifim shebehem v'ha'orim ha'bitzuros asher tokidu, as Moshe describes here, how the nations were strong and the cities were fortified, all these fortified cities that you're conquering and these great people that you're defeating, Hashem b'chvodo asa lachem kein v'nes neforsam me'ito, Hashem has done it in His glory as an open miracle. So after that has been emphasized, there's something else that has to be emphasized in the wake of that. And that is what this pasuk is describing. Chaza v'hizkir. So now he's going back and saying something else. Okay, so you realize Hashem did it for you. But you can say Hashem did it for me because I deserved that miracle. Says the pasuk, Lo tachshov ki asa Hashem imcha koze bitzit kascha. Ki lo asa lachem kein. Rak berishas hagoyim ha'ela. Now here you see how the Rabban is reading the pasuk. You see the pasuk starts by saying, don't think that I'm entering the land because of my righteousness. But, as the pasuk continues, uberishas hagoyim ha'ela Hashem erushim panacha. No, that is a false assumption. It's not because of your righteousness. Rather, uberishas should be read as, rather, it's because of the wickedness of the nations. That's what the Ramban is saying. We'll emphasize it soon again. Now, when the pasuk says it's not so, it's because of the wickedness of the nations, so all you've done in that expression is explain why they should be driven out. You haven't yet explained why we're getting the land. And that's what the next pasuk is coming to fill in. Alkin chazar ubir. So now it's picking up from what it left off. What we just said a minute before was, it's not because of your righteousness, it's because of the wickedness of the nations. Says the next pasuk. Let me flesh that out. It's not because of the wickedness, it's not in the, because of your righteousness. Lo vitzit kascha shetia tzadik b'maase. V'lo afilu b'lev yasha shilcha. Now he's explaining the two points that we do not meet in terms of the standard. In other words, before we said bitzidkasi heviani. So now he's emphasizing there's really two ideas here. There's maisa and there's machshava. There's belave. So you don't have either of those. You don't have enough in your deeds. You don't have enough in your heart right now. In your you might say, your mitzvah supply, your mitzvah reservoir. It's not enough. Lo bitzidkasi shetia tzadik b'maase. V'lo afilu b'lev yasher sheyelecha rak berishas hagoyim avduhem. So how? What is the real picture? They're destroyed because of their wickedness. As far as why you're getting the land, ubavur shvuas avosecha yerashta osa haaretz, because of the promise to your forefathers, you inherit the land. Meaning to say, ke'en achet shelcha yochol vata hamatana shenasan avosecha. Your sin, the fact that you're falling short, is not enough to cancel, to negate the promise that had already been given to your fathers, to your forefathers. Ki b'shvua nesan alem, it's a shvua. So Hashem cannot renege on the shvua just because you didn't meet his standards. So this is basically the picture of how the Ramban runs the pasuk. Again, the pasuk says, don't think it's because of your merit. It's not so. Really, it's only about the wickedness of the nations. Not only that, you don't have the merit in Maisa, you don't have the merit in Machshava, in Lev, and therefore, because of the wickedness of the nations, they're driven out. And why are you getting it? Because Hashem can't change the fact that He promised it. Again, I ask you the obvious question. You give somebody a present, and you want them to feel close to you, right? So what do you say? Listen, I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you this present, but you don't really deserve it. You don't deserve it whatsoever. But yeah, I promised your grandfather that you would get this, and I gave him my word. So Nebuch, I have no choice. I have to give it to you. I mean, if I was receiving such a present, I wouldn't feel very good, right? So what exactly does this mean? I have a suggestion which I want to share with you. Let's just first complete the picture of the pasuk itself. Yeah. I think you're on the right track. But let's first finish the Rashi that he quotes. Rashi has a different reading of this pasuk, just from a semantic perspective. The Rashi Kasav, Rashi's pshat is different. Rashi reads it as follows. Al tomar, you see, the pasuk that we read, pasuk Dalid, the difficulty is what to do with the second part of the pasuk. The pasuk concludes, uverishas hagoyim ha'ela. Now the word, the vav ha'chibur, can be read as the Ramban reads it, which means avol, So it's that, it's sort of taking it in a different direction. It's not, don't say it because of your righteousness. That's what you would say. That's what you would think. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, not so. Rather, uverishas. That's the Ramban's take on the pasuk. Rashi takes the pasuk differently. Rashi reads the vav as part of what you'd be thinking. You'd be thinking as follows. Not that it's in my righteousness, and because of the weakness of the nations. Now, what does that mean? After all, it was in fact because of the weakness of the nations, as the next pasuk continues, ki berishas hagoyim. So Rashi says it means as follows. Don't think that there were two valid reasons to get the land. And a combination of the two allows for why you got the land. Don't think that there's, number one, the fact that you're righteous, and number two, combined with the fact that they were wicked. It's not true. That's not correct. The reason it's not correct is because the first of those two factors is not correct. So that's how Rashi reads it. Al tomer bevavcha b'tzidkasi v'rishas hagoyim gormali. Don't think that the basis for inheriting the land is because of the two factors combined, my righteousness and their wickedness. Rather, no, lo b'tzidkascha, because that first factor is not true. What is true? The second factor, and then the shvua of the avos. Now, why doesn't Rabban like this pshat? So I think it's simple. If you look at the way the words are phrased, it seems clear why the Rabban didn't like Rashi's pshat. If the words uverishas hagoyim ha'ela are part of what you'd be thinking, then what should the words read as you continue the pasuk? Don't think, number one, it was because of my righteousness, together with number two, berishas hagoyim ha'ela, Hashem morisham. What should be the expression? Hashem is driving them out before me. Because we're putting the words in the mouth of the people who are entering. So, b'tzidkasi hevi ani Hashem l'reshes. Don't think it was because of, number one, that I'm righteous, therefore I enter the land. And number two, b'rishas hagoyim Hashem morisham mipanai. If it would say mipanai, then I understand Rashi's pshat. That you would think that I'm getting the land because of two reasons. Number one, my righteousness, and number two, that Hashem drove them out because of me. But it doesn't say mipanai, it says mipanecha. So if we're speaking about what's in the mind of those who are going into Eretz Yisrael, why would it shift to as if we're speaking to them and not speaking in their voice, right? So I think this is why the Ramban feels that the pshat should be rather berishas hagoyim Hashem orisha mipanecha. Yeah, to justify Rashi, you have to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it about them, but what they would be thinking about themselves. Okay, this is the Ramban's disagreement with Rashi. Now, before we go to our question, the Ramban does touch on a question here. V'yesha l'shol l'shol, harei amaki me'avas Hashem eschem. The end of Parshas Veschanan, it says Hashem loves you. V'nehem ahuvim l'mala. Hashem loves Klal Yisrael, they're beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem lo ya'av rak es hatovim. Hashem can only love people who are good. Ki rasha v'oivcha masan anafsho pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem hates those who are evil. Im ken gam b'tzidkasam yarshu aretz. So it sounds like Hashem gives the land because of their own righteousness, because it says that they're beloved. V'atshuva, ki sham yidaber im Yisrael b'chlolam. That's reference to Kaiso as a whole entity. Now he's rebuking that generation that has constantly been rebelling. Again, reminding us that the rebellion was really the first generation, but they are in a sense an extension of that generation that preceded them, and they're viewed therefore as part of that same rebellious generation, and that's the problem here, that they're not getting it because of their merit. Klal Yisrael as a whole, Hashem loves Klal Yisrael, but the people going in are carrying, you might say, a certain feeling of guilt that they don't deserve it. That's obviously what's being intended here in the pasuk. And again, what does that mean? L'man hakim es adava, the Ramban says, that means avada ve'inu ol sama b'meis shana b'dor v'yeshuvu heina, that there's going to be a fourth generation that's going to come in. So I want to suggest the following thought, and I'm going to say it with another question, and then use the idea to answer both. There is a pasuk in Parshas Balak. We say this in our davening Rosh Hashanah, which is less than 6 weeks away. The pasuk states, "Lo hibit avin v'Yaakov, v'lo ra'a mo b'Yisrael, Hashem olkav imo suas melech bo." So that's a pasuk of Malchios. Hashem is a king. The Pasuk is saying that Hashem doesn't look at Klal Yisrael at their sins. Lo hibet avin b'Yaakov, lo ra'am al b'Yisrael. So Rashi brings a chazal that means that Hashem looks away when we do the wrong thing. What can that mean? What can that mean? The Parshas Drachim asks the obvious question. Hashem has accountability with whatever we do. Of course we're accountable. How can it be Hashem doesn't punish us, so to speak, doesn't look at our averos? We do averos. Obviously, we have to answer to Hashem for what we did. So the Parshas Drachim is an interesting pshat. It doesn't mean that Hashem waives averos. Things that we did, the damage is done, and we have to face the consequences. Rather, what it means is that we're not discussing averos that we have already committed in the past. Rather, we're discussing averos that Hashem knows we're going to commit, but Hashem does not hold it against us at this point. Like it says by Yishmael, by Asher Husham, Hashem judges a person where they're at right now. Even if we know they're going to do something terrible in the future, that doesn't go into the mix right now. Says the Parshas Drachim, that's interesting. There's a chidush here. When it comes to averos, Hashem doesn't take the future into account. He says, but there's a contrast to that, and that has to do with mitzvos. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take into account a mitzvah that we haven't yet done, but He knows we're going to do it, and He believes in us and gives us already schar before we've done it. Where do you see that? You see that by the sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are they going out of Mitzrayim? And Hashem says, when you take them out of Mitzrayim, they're going to accept the Torah ala harazeh. Rashi learns pshat that the schus of Matan Torah justified Yitzias Mitzrayim. Which means to say that even though they would do a chet ha'egel, that didn't spoil Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the fact that they haven't done Matan Torah, but they're going to say Nasa v'Nishma, that can justify Yitzias Mitzrayim because Hashem knows they're going to get to that point. Which means Hashem takes into account mitzvahs that we're going to do even before we did it. So with that in mind, I want to say pshat over here as well. In other words, this is the point. This is not about pushing guilt and saying, you're getting this gift and you don't deserve it and you should be ashamed of yourself, but I'm giving it to you anyway because I promised it to the avos. That wouldn't be a good way to build trust and to create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be, to connect us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it must be, the pshat is, what we're saying here is Hashem is showing Klal Yisrael, to the contrary, how much I love you. There are standards that, had you met those standards, you'd be getting Eretz Yisrael based on your past record, your Yosha, Tzidkascha, V'Yosha Levavcha, based on your current reality. Hashem says, based on current reality, you haven't met that standard because of all the chatayim that Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to say. But I believe in you, Hashem says, and I know what you're capable of, and I know what you're going to achieve. And I'm willing to give you Eretz Yisrael now with the trust and the hope that you're going to earn it subsequently when you enter and you're going to continue to actualize your potential, which you haven't yet done. I think that must be the pshat in the pasuk. And I would perhaps read it into what it means when it says Hashem promised it to the avos. The Ramban says it means I can't take away the promise. I already said that I'm going to give it to you. I can't renege on the promise. But maybe it means something deeper. Because if you have avos, if you have Mitzvah Yaakov, who Hashem connected with on such a deep level, you have people who you can relate to. You have role models. You have the genes, the spiritual genes, to actualize that which Avraham Mitzvah Yaakov represented. Yes, right now you haven't done it yet, but you can and you will. Kodesh Baruch Hu is actually investing in us, and that ultimately is the message of Moshe Rabbeinu, not a disheartening message to make them feel that they don't deserve what they're getting, and therefore what's the point? To the contrary, it's to build a relationship and to let Klal Yisrael recognize where they can go, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to give you a down payment for that which you haven't yet shown, but Hashem knows that you are going to go there and you're going to reach that level, and therefore you're going to justify my giving to you in advance. And if a parent or a Rebbe or somebody who believes in a child and is willing to give them that present in advance, I think that's amazing. It's not something that's discouraging. It's a way of the child recognizing, boy, I really have to earn this, and I better become even better. That's the way I would take this pasuk. Any thoughts? Any comments? Yeah.
if you were the Rebbe, and let's say you know that the kid comes from a tremendous lineage, so you could say, do you realize the lineage that you're
you can, exactly.
You're building the kid up, but having him realize from where he comes. And it's, you know, like, you have to love him.
Right. And even if he hasn't done it yet, but you say, I know you can get there. That's mamish what I'm saying. That's exactly the point. So it's turning the question on its head, and I think it really is emes. I've told over to a number of big Talmid Chachamim, and they all thought it was correct. So I feel like it's Kenai Nahara, Gliar Nahara. I think it really is perhaps emes. Okay, let's continue with the next Ramban. The Ramban goes on now with Pasuk. Where are we? Just let's find our bearings here. Ubechorev. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is beginning to mention the Avera of the Chet HaEgel. And the question is this. This is important because of the way Sefer Devarim is sort of zigzagging, as we know from the Ramban's Hakdama we did 2 weeks ago. So Moshe Rabbeinu began Sefer Devarim with Musar. And that Musar was meant as a preamble to getting to the Beir HaTorah that began with the Parsha of Aseres HaDibros, which is, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu coming to elaborate. So, in a way, why are we going back and giving Musa right now? Seemingly, we have already done that. That was in the beginning of this year. And now, we're at the point where we're going over mitzvos. But apparently, it doesn't work that way. It's not just like a straight line, Musa and then the shir. We have Musa, we have a shir, and then we have more Musa, and then we have more of a shir. And exactly how does that work? So Ramban is sensitive to that point, because it shouldn't contradict what he said in the Hagdama to Dvarim. Says the Ramban, "Uvechorev iksavtim es Hashem, kodem sheyiftach lebeir haTorah, kolal veochiach osam ba'avonos asher gamol emra v'lo nimchalu." Says now he's going back to the Musar Parshas Devarim. Before he did any element of beir haTorah of any kind, before he got to Aseres HaDibros, he talked about the averos that were unforgiven, that were not fully forgiven, which is of course the chet of the meraglim. V'iskalem inyam hamaraglim, and also mei meriva, which we also have mentioned over there in Dvarim. V'achar kein, bi'er aseres adibros, and then he got to the first leg of the shir, where he explained, again, elaborate on aseres adibros of Parshas Yuchad Hashem, that's Shema Yisrael. V'ishirein b'inyan avodazaras haras rabos, and you have about, at the end of the Shchanan, as you know, don't make a covenant with the nations, and don't worship avodazarah. The his here be mitzvos bechlalam, and then you have beginning of Ekev, it's telling mitzvos in general, these are mitzvos you should be keeping, and they're good things for you. Viyomash in kuan tovo, subavuran tovo, and koatova. If you do the mitzvos, all good things will happen, will fall your way, will come your way. Now that he did that, now he's going to go into more specific mitzvos. That's going to start, of course, in Parshas Re'eh and Shoftim. But now there has to be a backtracking. Ve'ata bola haschel bepratea mitzvos. So until now, the mitzvahs that we were describing and elaborating on were very much in the classification of global mitzvahs, fundamentals of the mitzvahs, the Aseres HaDibros, Yichud Hashem, right, not to worship Avodah Zarah. But now we're going to get into more nitty-gritty mitzvahs, like we'll get to Parshas Re'eh, Shchut Yichutz, and Navi Sheker, and all the things that you have in the parshas that are following. But before he's going to get into Prati HaMitzvahs, V'kodim Sheyasker Achas Mehem Befrat, before he gets into any specific mitzvah, Yachzar lo chiach osam, he's going back to Musar. V'lifkod aleim es kovon aseim she'asu me'eish she'kibwa Torah v'hala. He's going to go through all the averos from the time of Matan Torah and on, not from before. Ki atlunos she'asu kodem Matan Torah, that which was before Matan Torah, for example, she'imru al yam b'yamsuf, they complained by Yamsuf, why did he take us out of Mitzrayim? Vayilonu b'mara, when they came out of Yamsuf, there was again a mara uba'olush, that's by the man. Lo yaskirim lehem, that already doesn't get regurgitated at this point, and the reason is, why only from the Matan Torah and on? Ki me'eshe kibu haTorah, from the time of accepting the Torah, ha'yu yosher chayavim l'shmo b'ko Hashem, ha'shikor ha'shim mambris. Because the standard Hashem is holding them to is only really beginning from Matan Torah. Now is when I'm not so quick to let go. I'm holding it against you. Before Matan Torah, you weren't yet on the level. You hadn't committed yourself to enter the covenant. So let's leave that aside. But from Matan Torah and on, that's where I have greater expectations and you have a greater obligation. Ulfichach pasach kan, that's why he starts ubechorev after Matan Torah, Hiksaftem v'ifka ma'isa ha'ego kvar pirashtiv. And this is what he says here, u'b'chor v'ksaftem es Hashem. Now, I want to go a little bit ahead here. After you go through the Chet Ha'egel, so it's very interesting. Actually, maybe I'll... Go ahead. Yeah.
In the Parashat Olam, he mentions Sasan Baviram, but he doesn't mention Korah. He doesn't mention Korah.
Right, right.
Why doesn't he mention Korah?
Yeah, it's a good question. Think about why doesn't he mention Korah himself? I don't know. Sasan Baviram, of course, more wicked in a certain way. I don't know. Before I go on, there's something interesting I want to mention from the Ramban in a different place in Chumash and in his Sefer HaMitzvot. The Pasuk reads as follows. When it's introducing the Chet HaEgel, so the Pasuk reads in Pasuk Zayin, Zechor al tishkach. Don't forget, remember, don't forget, Eis asher iksavta Hashem Elokecha b'midbar. How you angered Hashem, you provoked him in the midbar, and he goes on from the day that I took you Mitzrayim until now, you've been rebelling. Is this a mitzvah in the Torah? Zechor, now we have the idea of zechiros. You ever open a siddur, you see shei zechiros. We know the zechira of Maisa Miriam. We have the zechira of Amalek, Zachas Yom HaShem Zekadsho. But you have a few times zechor al tishkach. You have it by Amalek, zechor esh Amalek, and it says al tishkach. You have by Miriam, Zohar Yisrael Hashem HaKach Ola Miriam. You have over here, Zohar Al Tishkach. So there is a Ramban in Parshas Kiseitse, where he's discussing Maisa Miriam, and also Maisa Amalek. And in both places he describes the comment of the Sifra in Torah's Kohanim. He quotes it in Kiseitse. Maybe when we get there we'll do it inside from the Ramban. But what it says in the Torah's Kohanim that the Ramban quotes in Kiseitse is as follows. It's on the pasuk there, the Tochacha, that if imchu kosai teilechu, and that comment of the Torah's Kohanim, so he says, it says imrosish meuli velo sasu es kol mitzvos ha'ele. So the Torah's Kohanim says the repetition imrosish meu velo sasu. So what's the double expression? So he says, it's not just about mitzvahs, it's also not being a melem b'Torah. There's an extra point that's being emphasized. Continues the Torah's Kohanim as follows. I read you from Torah's Kohanim in Parshas Bechukosai. V'chein hu omer, Zachar es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho, yachol b'libcha. You might think the mitzvah Zachar is in your heart. Kishu omer shomor, so that's already shmiras harei. Mani mekayim Zachar, shetia shone b'ficha. That you have to say it verbally. That could be the mitzvah of Kiddush, possibly. V'chein hu omer, Zechor al tishkach, Eis asher iksavtes Hashem Elokecha b'midbar. This pasuk, Yochol b'libcha, kishu omer al tishkach, hari shikchas halev amura. It says al tishkach. So that's already shikchas halev. Mani mekayim Zechor, shetei shone b'ficha. That you have to verbalize. V'chein hu omer, Zechor al tishkach, Zechor asher Hashem Elokecha l'miriam, Yochel b'libcha kishu omer hisham b'nega tzaras lishmar ma'od harishika salev amura mani mekayim zochor sheshone b'ficha. So there's a riboy over there as well, and finally Amalek as well, that it's zochor al tishkach shone b'ficha. So in Kiseitse, the Ramban deals with two of the examples mentioned here, Amalek and Miriam, in terms of the mitzvah of zechira b'peh. But notice that the Torah's Kohanim also put together with that this pasuk over here, that Zechor al tishkach eis asher iksavta is not just belev, also bepeh. So now, if you go to the Ramban in his mitzvos asay that the Rambam left out, if you ever open a Sefer HaMitzvos of the first volume, you might say Mishneh Torah, the Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah. So after the Rambam's 248 mitzvos of asay, you have a few pages of the Shikchas HaAseis. And then you have the same thing at the end of the 365 Lavin. The Ramban gives you what he thinks was left out by the Rambam. So in Mitzvah Zayin of Shikchas HaAseis, Vadas HaRamban, so the Ramban tells you that we have to count Zechiras Maisa Miriam, which was not counted by the Rambam. She says, Mitzvah Shvi'is, Shenitzdaveinu Liskar B'peh, Miriam. Now that we're not going to read now. That will be Sefer Kiseitse. Ramban explains in his own unique way, as he does in Kiseitse, what is that specific mitzvah that we are to talk about the story of what happened to Miriam. But Betoch HaDvarim, in that paragraph, the Ramban quotes the Sifra, and he mentions that the Sifra also discusses the pasuk here in Parshas Ekev, and now the Ramban has a suffix how to interpret what the Sifra means, that there's a mitzvah befiv, verbally, to remember the chatoim of the Midbar, the Chet HaEgel. Says the Ramban, v'shanino b'sifra, and he quotes the couple of the lines of the Sifra, and then he says, after discussing Miriam, he says, and Amalek, he says, V'chein o darshu, the very end of the paragraph, V'chein o darshu, Zachor esar sheik tzavta, es Hashem elkecha bamidbar, yochel b'libcha, and so on. V'lo yadati, I'm not sure what to make of that. Im hi ashara l'maktsifim atzmam, is this an ashara for the people themselves who did the averos, meaning or the people then in that generation? Kaloma anshe dor hamidbar, they are the ones who have this obligation to remember what they did. V'ulai hi mitzvah ledoros. Ah, maybe this is a mitzvah ledoros as well. Now, what is, if it's a mitzvah ledoros, what is the nature of this mitzvah? What is the mitzvah that we have ledoros to remember and to verbalize the averos of the midbar, the chet ha'egel, and so on? Says Rabban, I'll tell you what I think is my spin on this mitzvah. And again, in light of the ideas that we brought out earlier in this year, that this is not about pushing guilt. Hashem doesn't like to push guilt. You might say, we have to clap al chet all the time. Oh, we did a chet ha'egel, it's a verbalize it all the time. That's not what it means. Says Rabban, ua hi mitzvah ledoros ledas, Chesed ha'elokim aleinu. We should know how Hashem was so kind to us. V'shamro bris avoseinu. And he kept the bris of our fathers. V'loseis hoda'a l'shmo u'levarach oso ala kol. The zechor al tishkach is a mitzvah ledoros, according to this possibility, of what? Of remembering Chesed Hashem and thanking him and blessing him. Ki'inyin she'anavi maskiram, ami zechorna mayoat bog mechmoav ma'ona oso bilom ben bo'orim nashid mer agilgo, l'man dasid kos Hashem, v'imkein roi l'mnosa mitzvah na mitzvah. So the Ramban is considering the possibility there's a mitzvah to remember the averos of the midbar, not because we have to kap al chet, but a mitzvah to remember chesed Hashem. And I would like to think that this is really, again, the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had savlanut for us. He tolerated us, and he was able to bear the sin, as it were, and work with us even when we failed. Like the Ramban said in his Hakdama to Devarim, that person shouldn't think that because I did averos, therefore all is lost. Hashem was always b'midas harachamim. That's the mitzvah ledoros, possibly, of this pasuk. Derech Agav, the Meshech Chachma, thought that this could be a marker for Parshas Parah d'Oraisa. There's a shaila whether Parshas Parah is Doraisa Drabanan. So there's a svara that Meshech Chachma says, why would be Doraisa? Because Parah is a kapara for Chet HaEgel. So by reading the Parshas Parah, we're fulfilling the mitzvah of Zechor B'Peh, Esa Sheik Safta, B'derech Remez, it's Merameh Zechet HaEgel. Okay, just to end with the following Ramban. Toward the end of this section, so there's, if this is going to connect to what we did last week in the shir as well, so the pasuk says in pasuk chav beis. Now keep in mind that the Ramban told us before that the averos here from Matan Torah and on. And the question is how to read pasuk chav beis. Says the pasuk after describing what happened in the wake of Chet HaEgel, pasuk chav beis says as follows: Tavera, you know, is Parshas Baaloscha, when there was some rumbling and there was an ash that broke out. When after they traveled from Sinai, they had this first point where the ash broke out and there were some people that Nebuch got killed. Uve Masa, and in Masa. Now Masa, we remember from last week's Parsha, Lo Sinasu Hashem, that was way back in Rephidim. Uve Kibos HaTava, now we're going back to Parshas Baaloscha. So what is the Pshat in this pasuk? The Torah identifies three places that we were also angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the three places are Taveira, Masa, Kibbutz HaTava. The problem is that Masa, which is sandwiched in between, shouldn't belong here. Taveira, Kibbutz HaTava were one after the other. What's that? Right, that's the problem. Why is it mentioned Masa? Okay, but it's not so. Masa is not the Meraglim. We know what Masa is. So let's see the Ramban. Yeah, I know, but Lamaisa, we know the Torah identified Masa several times. Let's look at the Ramban, and we'll end with this. I have the noise in the background. I apologize. The Omar Rabbi Avram. So the Ramban quotes Ibn Ezra, and he likes what Ibn Ezra says. Kitam uvetaveira uvemasa as follows. Ba'avur, ki betaveira hayu am kimis onanim. What was happening in Taveira, there was a repeat of the chet of Masa. That's what the Pasuk is saying. They were complaining, and their complaining was in the vein of testing Hashem. Let's see what you can do for us. Minasim Hashem, we'll follow you if you give us what we want. Minasim Hashem betoenos, with excuses, with pretext. Hiskir lehem, ki ayisem maksifim es Hashem benisayon, Hashem isisem betaveira, kasher asisem kvar pamacheres bemasa velo kachtem musar. The Yafet Piresh. Ibn Ezra is wording Pshat in such a way that it's not like a separate condemnation. Befrat that the Ramban said before we read that he's not bringing in Averos before Matan Torah for itself. The answer is, but look, you still have a vestige of that in you. You repeated the Avera of Masa in Tavera. This is after Matan Torah. So Hashem is saying, you repeated that same impulse of testing Hashem as you had done once before. The Inei and Adar Amban is giving us more of the same Musa that we read last week regarding Osanasus Hashem. The Inei Hachet, Linasus es Hashem, Hu Chet Gadol, the Asma Rabba. It's a great sin and a very heavy, guilty thing to do. Kasher Hizir Mimenu. As has been already warned, if Moshe can bring it in one more time, another shout out about Masa, he'll do it. Because the point of Masa is something that has to be reminded, and Kali Yisrael need to hear how bad it is to test Hashem. So we have, therefore, a mention of Masa, even if it's only a way of trying to trace Taveira as one of those things that repeated the same problem of Masa, Moses bringing it home in order to emphasize how terrible it is to test Hashem. So here another emphasis on this idea of not living in your relationship with Hashem in this manner as if I'm an outsider. Let's see kind of what you're doing for me and then I'm joining in. There has to be a firm commitment and an understanding that Sofa covered Lavo, as Ramban said in last week's parasha, but it's not as if I'm only in it because of what might be there for me in terms of whatever goodies I'm hoping to have in a good life. But this is therefore why it gets emphasized once again. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for joining, and all the best. Stay well, stay safe. Okay, good to see you. Shabbos.